They are called honorable because they will never record anything that has not actually taken place. Dr. Penfield cites experiments where a person recalled the music he had heard when he was a child. Another recalled the experience of the childbirth, which had happened to her 20 years ago. A third person got the vision of some people sitting on chairs and talking, a happening of his childhood. All this was brought to the minds of these people by merely touching the temporal lobes with fine electrodes. The experiment is absolutely harmless and painless. This touching of lobes reminds a wide variety of incidents, even very trivial, often of childhood and connected with family and neighbors. Dr. Penfield says, there is hidden in the brain a record of the stream of consciousness. It seems to hold the details of that stream present during each man's waking conscious hours. Contained in this record are all those things of which the individual was once aware of such details as a man might hope to remember for a few seconds or minutes afterwards, but which are lost to voluntary recall after that time. This is not memory, as we usually use the word. No man can recall by voluntary efforts such a wealth of details. It is much more real than remembering. Offer your prayers regularly. Be careful when you are offering them. Pray as often as you possibly can. And through prayers, seek the proximity of His realm. Prayers are made compulsory for faithful Muslims. Have you not read in the Holy Quran the reply of those who would be thrown into hell? When they will be asked, "What led you to hell?" they will say, "We were not among those who prayed." Surah Al-Mudathir 74:42-43. Remember that Salat, daily prayers, removes sinful desires from your minds, just as strong wind sheds dried leaves from trees. And it frees you from the clutches of vice and wickedness. The Holy Prophet has said, Salat is like a hot spring at a man's door. If he takes bath in it 5 times a day, there shall be no dirt and filth on his body. Only those persons whom pomp and glory of this world has not eluded, or whom family ties, prosperity, and power have not made negligent of their duty, can appreciate and realize the worth and value of Salat. The Almighty Allah says, there are some people whom their business and trade cannot divert from remembrance of Allah and offering their prayers and paying zakat, religious tax. Surah Al-Nur 24:37. Through the Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, knew that his place is in paradise. Yet he used to exert himself so much in daily prayers that he physically suffered on that account, because he wanted to keep up the prestige of the commandments of Allah. Instruct your family to pray and to be steadfast in their worship. Surah Taha 20:132. Thus, the Holy Prophet ordered the members of his family to offer daily prayers regularly and he himself was particularly careful of it. Besides the daily prayers, there is another means of achieving proximity of his favor. It is zakat. It is an expiation of sins and deliverance from hell for those who willingly and cheerfully pay it. Remember that after praying it, no one should feel sorry at the loss thus suffered. No one should even imagine it to be a loss, because whoever does not pay zakat selflessly and sincerely, but with an eye to its benefits which may follow and the popularity which may thus be gained, does not understand the real meaning of religion. Such a person will be a loser and will be put to permanent shame and disgrace. Then there is the attribute of honesty. It is made incumbent upon you to return the things entrusted to you and to be honest in your thoughts and deeds. Allah inquired of the vast expanding skies, the vast earth, and the huge mountains whether they liked to act as his trustees for something which he intended entrusting them with. Only man is intellectual enough to understand the relationship between the creatures and the Creator, the purpose of creation, and the duties which he has laid down for his creatures. They refused to accept the trust, though they were so vast and so big, because they were afraid of the wrath of the Lord on account of their weakness. But the man accepted the offer because he was hasty and did not possess enough foresight. Allah says, "Surely man is very ignorant and unjust." Surah Al-Ahzab 33:72. O people, Allah is not unaware of all that you do during broad daylight and in the depth of night. He knows everything that you do and every thought that passes your mind. He is omniscient. Even your mind and your limbs will bear testimony before Him to your thoughts and actions. Parts of your body are soldiers of His army. Your conscience and your mind are His spies against you. Your private life is fully known to Him. Sermon 205. There are two ways of leading a life. One is the way which has been taught and practiced by great minds from the time of every known prophet of Allah up to our holy prophet, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants. It is not to be honest, virtuous, pious, and to do one's duty to man and Allah. The other is to resort to any evil to gain one's end. Islam calls it the way of Satan. This way of life was actually responsible for all miseries that humanity had suffered since the fall of Adam from paradise. All the wars, all the poverty, all the crimes, the caste system of India, the slavery in the East and the West, the imperialism that once dominated the globe, and the totalitarianism of today are all various phases of Machiavellian philosophy. But Imam Ali, as a true apostle, hated this way of life. And on many occasions, when various people, for instance, Abdullah bin Abbas, Mughira, and others suggested similar idea to him, he got vexed and replied, "End will never justify the means, and the true way of life should never be polluted with such vices even to support and save a religion. In this sermon, Imam Ali has hinted at the idea that if he wished, he could practice duplicity and crookery in statecraft in more subtle way than Muawiyah, but he fears Allah, while Muawiyah does not. I swear by Allah that Muawiyah is not wiser and more intelligent than I. He is an unscrupulous scammer. He would resort to every kind of duplicity, vice and sin to strengthen his statecraft. Had I not hated wickedness and sin, I would have been the greatest politician and statesman of that time. But every vice, every wickedness, every duplicity, every crime, and every unscrupulousness is a sin and violation of the commands of Allah. One who violates and disregards the principles of Islam is an infidel. On the day of judgment, every unscrupulous scammer and infidel will be made to carry a bunting in his hand, with which he will be distinguished. I swear by Allah that no one can fool or allure me with his cunning duplicity, nor can I be subdued by force. Sermon 206. An advice to his companions not to feel nervous if they were in minority, and to remember that moral support of bad deeds is as punishable as the actual deed itself. O people, do not feel nervous and do not get disappointed if you find a few people following the path of truth and salvation, because majority of men are mad after pleasures in this world, where after lengthy and tantalizing expectations, little time is allowed for enjoyments, which are followed by very long periods of punishments and sufferings. Howsoever different may be your modes of activities and ways of doing things, the basic principles of good and evil gather all men under certain categories. You know, there was only one man who killed the camel of Prophet Saleh, but the whole nation had to suffer for it, because they all had approved the action. The Lord refers to the incident saying, "They stabbed the she-camel, but next day, when the wrath of Allah was descending, they regretted their action, but it was too late." Surah Al-Shu'ara 26:157. Their punishment was given in the form of a devastating earthquake, which came with terrible grinding sound, followed by tremors and terrible shaking, which wiped the whole community out of existence. O people, one who treads the right path secures the salvation easily, and one who wanders away will find his journey's end to eternal damnation. Sermon 207. This is the saddest discourse that has ever been recorded by Imam Ali. He delivered it on a really melancholy occasion of his life. He was burying his dearest companion, his partner in life, who was the beloved daughter of the Holy Prophet, and whom he loved as dearly as he had loved her father. Nobody was dearer to him in this world than these two, not even his own life. And these two beloved ones had left him, one after the other, at a very short interval. The pathos was keener on this occasion because Lady Fatima, his dearest spouse, had breathed her last in the prime of her life, barely 20 years old. Her passing away was actually martyrdom. Her house was burnt down. The burning door was flung upon her. She consequently broke her ribs and her left arm. This cruelty caused the premature birth and the end of a baby that she was carrying, which ultimately ended in miscarriage. All this had happened within 2 to 3 months after the Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him, and his descendants had left this mortal world. Imam Ali had tried his best to ward off all this, but was helpless against the heavy odds. Her heirloom was also forcibly taken away from her, and even the gift, Hiba, was refused to be taken into consideration. The insult and the injury had ended her life. And when Imam Ali was burying her, he could not resist weeping bitterly. No one can really translate and depict the pathos which Imam Ali's words contain. O Prophet of Allah, please accept my salams, salutations, and those of your daughter who is being buried not very far from you, and who has joined you so soon. O the chosen messenger of Allah, the passing away of your dear daughter has left me without patience and solace. I have lost my self-restraint and power of endurance. After having endured your separation, I have to bear this catastrophe also so patiently. O Prophet of Allah, I laid you down in the grave with my own hands. Your soul departed from your body while you were resting upon my bosom, and your head was lying between my neck and my heart. Surely we belong to Allah, and towards Him is our return. Your trust, your daughter, which was entrusted to me, is taken back from you. Sorrow now abides with me, and happiness has taken leave of me. This grief is so overwhelming that it engulfs and swallows other sorrows, and it has left me with sleepless nights and joyless days. From now onwards, my life will be a continued heartache till Allah joins me with you both in the realm of His favor and peace. O Messenger of Allah, your dear daughter will tell you how your followers have behaved towards her and how they have ill-treated her. You may please ask her the details of what all has happened to her during such a short period, barely 3 months after your departure to paradise. This period of separation from you was so short that people still remember you and were still talking about you. Please, both of you, accept my farewell salams and regards. It is the wish of a sincere heart which has loved and will always love you both at heart, which will cherish and will carry your tender and loving memories to its grave. Goodbye, O daughter of the chosen messenger of Allah. May you rest in peace, which mankind has refused to you in this world. If I leave your grave to go to my place, it is not because I am tired of your company, I wish I had it to the end of my life. And if I make a permanent abode by your grave, it will not be because I know that Allah has reserved the reward for those who bear sorrows patiently. Goodbye. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. 7208. Remember that this world is a thoroughfare, a road upon which people are passing night and day. And the next world is the abode of permanent stay. While passing along this road, make provision for the next world, where you will live forever. Do not go under the burden of sins and vices before Him, who knows everything about you. Remove vicious ambitions from your mind before death removes you from your surroundings. Remember that you are being tested in this world and are created to be given a permanent life in the next world. When a man dies, people ask what he has left behind as a legacy. And the angels want to know what he has sent forward, good deeds and good words. May Allah have mercy upon you. Send something in advance to the destined place. It may be a sort of a debt to Allah to be repaid to you on your arrival there. Do not leave all of your assets behind. It will be a burden on you. Sermon 209. May Allah have mercy upon you. Do make some arrangements for your journey. The notice for departure has already been given to you. Do not take your sojourn here to be a permanent home. Take the best provision of good deeds and noble thoughts along with you and turn towards the Lord, because you have to cross a very arduous valley, the grave, and many frightfully horrible places. You shall positively have to cross them. No one of you can escape it. Remember that death is nearer to you today than yesterday. Each day of your life, as it passes out, leaves a day nearer to death. And it has you under its complete power and sway. Its horrors are silently and stealthily staring at you. Cut off your worldly attachments as much as you can and be pious, because your piety is your best provision for the next world. Sermon 210. After swearing the oath of allegiance, Talha and Zubair started grumbling and complaining that Imam Ali had ignored them and was not consulting them in affairs of the caliphate and was not giving them the share of the public money which their position and status demanded and which they deserved. On hearing this, Imam Ali replied to them in the following words: "You complain of such minor things.